Hello and welcome to the Spiritual School Bus. I'm Mandy Hecht. I'm an ordained minister with the Canadian Baptist of Western Canada, and I drive a school bus. In Baptist churches and on the bus, it seems like everyone wants to sit in the back. You, however, are invited to take a front row seat on the Spiritual School Bus.
This week's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside insists, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
If you spend any time at all looking up prayer and learning about it, you'll find that prayer can be many different things. Prayer can be sitting in silence. It can be offering gratitude for a beautiful sunset. It can be listening to God's word, particularly as we hear it in Scripture. Prayer can be contemplation. It can be lament. It can be conversation. Sometimes prayer even sounds like an argument. One thing I saw this week was an Anglican priest that I follow who talked about getting out of his head and working out his body through doing exercise that he likes to do.
And he finished his thing by saying, "And this too is prayer." So the definitions of prayer are many and varied, and so are the practices. But one form of prayer that we are very used to praying, and prayer sometimes gets reduced to this one thing, is praying for our needs. Needs for ourselves, needs for others. I affirm many different types of prayer, and I think it's good for our spirits and our spiritual lives to practice prayer in different forms. But we have to remember that one time, Jesus' disciples, noticing how often they found Jesus praying, approached him with a question, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread.'" Asking for our daily bread, that is one way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus taught us to ask for our immediate needs, for the things that are urgent right now, for the things that it takes to get through each and every day. Jesus taught his disciples to pray for this. Now, when we explored the statement, "Your kingdom come," we discovered that that statement had big implications. That statement encompassed God's desire or to be king, both now and the future. And we pray for God's will for every person and every institution and every principality and power to come to pass. We ache for God's kingdom to come to every corner of our broken world, into every heart hardened by God, against God's will, and everyone who's broken from suffering, and every person who needs good news for a change. And Jesus invited us when he taught to imagine this world and to live as if it had already come to pass and to pray often for this to happen. But then just as quickly we move on from this expansive prayer encompassing all times and all places and all people, the entire cosmos and even ourselves into this next petition. Compared to the vastness of "Your kingdom come," we might find "Give us today our daily bread" seems almost trivial. It's small. We've moved from eternity to today. We moved from major reform to a world we can only imagine and dream of, to our own supper tables that we set and wipe off every day. Give us this day our daily bread. When you consider the last three requests of the Lord's Prayer as Luke records them, give us today our daily bread, forgive our sins, and lead us not into temptation, one of the things that becomes very clear is that Jesus never downplays the reality of everyday life in this world. We need to eat. In fact, we need to eat multiple times each and every day. Jesus acknowledges this when he teaches his disciples to pray. We also live in a world with conflict. We will fail other people and other people will fail us. We will let each other down and we will differ with one another and we will step on each other's toes. And we all fall short of what it is that we're supposed to do to love God and love our neighbors. That's just reality. That's just human life. Life in this world requires forgiveness. We need divine forgiveness to be certain, and that's what Jesus talked about partly. And Jesus died in our place and acknowledged that he did so for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus was also very realistic about the fact that we're going to need to forgive one another as well and be forgiven by other people. Jesus acknowledges this reality when he teaches his disciples to pray. And we do live in a world where there is evil and there is opposition. And Jesus acknowledges this when he teaches his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, or some people have translated it, lead us not into the time of testing. Now we're going to take up those latter two requests next time we're together. But it's important to notice for now that the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray is a very practical prayer. Jesus knows about life in this world, about the realities that we face and the issues that we run into, and he teaches us to pray for these things. Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus teaches us to pray. So think for just a moment about your habits surrounding food. What are some of your routines around eating? You know, honestly, if you ask me, I might not be able to remember what I ate for supper a couple nights ago. I have to make a list to keep track of the things that we are running out of or have run out of in our fridge and our pantry so I don't forget to pick up those things at the grocery store. Yet for all of the forgetting I do about food, it's something that we as a family spend a lot of time shopping for and planning and preparing and cleaning up, not to mention the few minutes a day we actually spend eating. And that's something we tend to do 3 times a day, though sometimes we have grazers in our family that do it more often. But if you factor in things like getting water on a hot afternoon or coffee to keep you hydrated and going, that adds up to a lot of the time of our day spent with consumption. And when we finish all of that for one day, we put the engine in reverse and run the same train backwards so that we do it all over again tomorrow. And yet, having spent all this time and all this energy just getting ourselves and our families fed, we can hardly remember from day to day or week to week the things that we ate the week before. So it seems that the simple act of sitting down and breaking bread is something that is so necessary we spend lots of our time on it, but also so routine that it hardly registers in our memory banks. But this absolutely ordinary, everyday necessity, some might even sometimes call it a nuisance. Have you ever thought, oh, do I have to cook supper again tonight? But that's something Jesus tells his disciples to pray for. There's a clue here in this word that's usually translated daily, as in give us today our daily bread. The trouble with the word, though, is that it is used in the Lord's Prayer, both in Matthew's version and Luke's version, but it never appears anywhere else in the New Testament or any of the Greek writing that has been discovered. The best scholars can do is guess at it, but the force of the statement around this word makes it very clear that Jesus is telling disciples to ask, almost starkly, give us our food, God. Surely God knows all of our needs. Jesus even says as much in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Surely God, having created our human bodies and called them good, knows that we need to eat every day to survive. And yet Jesus invites us to ask God for these things that we need each day. And so if you ever wonder if you're bothering God with all of your requests, if you worry that you're asking God for something too often, or if you think that maybe God doesn't want to be bothered with every little thing that comes to your mind, Remember that Jesus taught his disciples to pray daily for their needs. The bread that they need to get through this day. If Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily needs, then we can be assured that God wants to hear from us each and every day and multiple times a day. God wants to know what's on our minds and on our hearts, to know the things that we're worried that we cannot do without. God wants to hear even the most trivial things from us and about us. Jesus is very realistic about life in this world, and he demonstrates it by teaching his disciples to pray every day for the bread to get them through that day. God surely wants to hear from us. But as we've turned up in our exploration of the Lord's Prayer so far, we've also learned that prayer is not just about getting God to do things for us, like some magical genie or cosmic vending machine who turns our requests into answers. The funny thing that often happens when we begin to talk to God is suddenly God begins to shape us through talking with him. And a funny thing also happens when we begin to talk about our needs. If I asked you today what you needed and you began to think about it for a bit, you probably would begin to think about all the things that you don't have. Like the ad for something you saw but couldn't quite afford, but you're quite sure would make your life better if you had it. All the material goods we see others with but we do not have. Thinking about our needs reminds us of what we are lacking. But I'm not sure that Jesus really wanted us to think about all we were lacking when he instructed us to pray this prayer. When we pray this prayer daily or even multiple times a day, as it appears that the people in the earliest church did, the prayer is not so much a technique for getting God to listen to us as it is something that begins to shape us, the ones who pray. One writer says it this way: living into the reality of gift means not only asking for the right things, but having our very asking, our very desiring, questioned and transformed. Someone visited a Benedictine monastery for a short-term stay, and the head monk of the Benedictine said to him, "If you find there's something you need, come find one of the brothers, and he will tell you how to get along without it." You see, there's an interesting connection between this particular prayer request, praying for the basics that we need to live each and every day, in an ancient story in the Bible. After the Israelites experienced the miracle of crossing the Red Sea as if it were dry land, escaping from the oncoming army who was pursuing them as they fled slavery in Egypt, they found themselves in another sticky situation. They were there in the desert or the wilderness with few resources and even fewer places to turn to get food and water. In fact, so dire was their situation that some Israelites began to wonder, out loud and rolling their eyes in Moses' direction in many cases, if they'd been led to the desert simply to die. At times, they even thought that they probably would have been better off if they'd stayed in Egypt, where they at least had 3 square meals a day, even if they had to sell their bodies to hard labor for that privilege. And some of them even wished that they had died in Egypt before being led out of there to the hope of a new life. But God responds to this, saying, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. On the 6th day, that's to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." And that's what happened. The next day, the Israelites awoke to something strange on the ground, which came to be called manna, which means something like, "What is it?" because nobody knew what it was. But that something strange was the bread that God was providing for them. And here's how it worked. Scripture says that some gathered much and some little, and when they measured it, the one who had gathered much did not have too much, and the one who had gathered little did not have too little. Everyone gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it till morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the 6th day, they gathered twice as much. And so, when they saved it till morning on the 6th day, as Moses commanded, it did not stink or get maggots in him. And so that was their rhythm, their arrangement with God for 40 years until they reached the border of Canaan. Every day, they got exactly what they needed for their families, no more, no less, except on the sixth day when they gathered enough for 2 days. God provided in the desert just what God's people needed each and every day. And there's something beautiful here about getting just what you need, no more, no less, and getting that every day. To trust God in that way, to walk each day looking to God for your needs for that day, and to know that God will provide for those needs. Though, as many have reminded us, God provides for our needs, not necessarily our greeds, but there is something comforting in that. Once again, the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples draws us to consider our theology, the belief about God that's expressed when we pray. We are taught to pray this because God is a God who provides. We are taught to pray these things because we know that we can call upon God as a heavenly father or parent who loves us and makes sure that we have those things that we need for each and every day. And it calls us to renew our faith in God to provide those things day by day. Now, you might think that it would get easier to trust God with our lives daily the longer we followed God, the more times we tested to see if God would provide, the more times we tasted for ourselves to see that the Lord is good. But curiously, the Israelites in the desert still found time to worry that maybe today, even though God had been providing for them each and every day for maybe 30-some years by this point, that maybe that's the day that God would suddenly forget to send the manna. Or they got annoyed that it was not something bigger, a nicer daily provision. Eventually, God sent quail to add meat to their diets. Surely that was something, of course, that they needed, but the people still found time to complain about their daily provision of manna because they kind of got bored with it. Now, I say that not to criticize the people of Israel unduly, because then I have to think about how often I do the exact same thing. I somehow get to wondering and worrying if maybe this time, in this situation, God might fail to provide for me, even though he has never done so, never failed to provide before. Or maybe I get to thinking that I'm owed just a little bit more than a simple daily ration. And so I complain that although God has provided faithfully and even daily for the things that I've needed, I'm kind of bored with that, and I wonder if there's something bigger coming in the mail. The writer of Psalm 104 reminds us of the basic fact that it is God who provides for all things, and in fact, for all creatures on this earth, saying, "All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. And when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." Writer G.K. Chesterton wrote this one time, "Here dies another day during which I have had eyes, ears, hands, and the great world around me, and with tomorrow begins another. Why am I allowed to?" So sometimes we simply need to be reminded of the goodness and the generosity of God, that God provides each and every day, that God's mercies are new every morning, and God's faithfulness is legendary. Apparently, we need to be reminded of this so often that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and to pray often, acknowledging and admitting that we need things and trusting ourselves each and every day to God's goodness to provide those things that we need. And so we are invited and taught to pray this prayer every day, to share our needs with God and even our wants and desires with the God of love, who is the giver of all good gifts. Now, it was very good of poet Malcolm Guite to share a series of poems on the Lord's Prayer earlier this summer so that we could enjoy his poetry together. Here is his offering for our daily bread. He writes, "Give us this day our daily bread, we pray, as though it comes straight from the hand of God, as though we held an empty plate each day and found it filled by miracle with food. Although we know the ones who plow and sow, who pick and plant and package whilst we sleep, with slow back-breaking labor row by row, and send away to others all they reap. We know that these unseen who meet our needs are themselves the fingers of your hand, as are the grain, the rain, the air, the land. And slighting these, we slight the hand that feeds. What if we glimpsed you daily in their toil, and found and thanked and served you through them all?" What I like about that particular poem is it brings us to one final point. God provides for us faithfully and daily, but God tends to use the hands of other people to do so. I read this story once, and I've never really forgotten it. It's a story told by Mother Teresa. And she writes, "One night a man came to our house to tell me that a Hindu family, a family of 8 children, had not eaten anything for days. They had nothing to eat. I took enough rice for a meal and went to their house. I could see the hungry faces and the children with their bulging eyes. The sight could not have been more dramatic. The mother took the rice from my hands, divided it in half, and went out. When she came back a little later, I asked her, 'Where did you go? What did you do?' And she answered, 'They are also hungry.' They were the people next door, a Muslim family with the same number of children to feed who did not have any food either. And that mother was aware of their situation. She had the courage and the love to share her meager portion of rice with others. In spite of her circumstances, I think she felt very happy to share with her neighbors the little I had taken her. In order not to take away her happiness, I did not take her any more rice that night. I took her some more the following day." Indeed, God gives us many good things, but God uses our hands to provide for needs for others. And God provides through the grain and the rain and the air and the land. Give us this day our daily bread, we ask God. And maybe, just maybe, God might use that prayer to shape us, not just to believe that God can and will provide for what we need each and every day, and that God is worthy to trust with our everyday needs, but that God might use us to provide for others who are in need as well. For that too is a vision of God's kingdom come here on earth. Well, today as you came in, you were all handed your communion. And every time we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded of God's great goodness, the way that God provided for us most abundantly through the gift of Jesus Christ. When we're at the Lord's table, we remember God's faithfulness through using even the most ordinary things in life, the bread and the cup, which remind us of the body of Christ given for us, the blood of Christ spilled for us. In fact, at one time, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to give his body for them to eat like bread. So we're going to go to the table of the Lord now, and I invite you to bow with me in prayer as we do so. God, our Father, we know that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change his shifting shadows. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided us, that you have allowed us to get through each and every day that we have had here on earth. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and that you give us what we need. Help us to believe this. Help us to pray with confidence to you for our needs. And help us to honor your good gifts by sharing them with others. Lord, at this time we thank you most especially for the gift of your Son, whose body becomes bread for us. We come to your table to be fed, acknowledging that you are the Lord God Almighty, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden. At this time, we ask that you would cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. These things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been the Spiritual School Bus. Thank you for listening. For more Spiritual School Bus, visit www.pastormandy.com. This recording is copyright 2020 by Mandy Hecht and may only be copied or redistributed by express written permission. Thank you and have a blessed week.
Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that while we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, Jesus declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May all we who share Christ's body live his risen life. May we who drink his cup bring life to others. May we whom the Spirit lights give life to the world. Keep us firm in the hope that you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.